Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Suggest you shut up and show more football.
Come on, come on. Figure. We've done that thing. Can we not knock it?
I am flabbergasted. I wouldn't even let him on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
Again, please don't call me arrogant, because what I'm saying is true. I think I'm a special one.
On the seagulls, follow the troll. It's because they sink sardines. Will be strong into the sea. Thank you.
I understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes, he was a great player. Yes, he was a wonderful leader. But he wasn't a magician.
I'll take a bow, son. I mean that. Take a bow.
I'm Richard Keyes.
And I am Andrew Mullen Gray.
You are, actually. Oh, we're that formal this week, are we?
Yeah.
I am Richard James Keyes.
See, there's a slight difference. A lot of Scots use surnames as middle names.
I like that.
And a lot of non-Scots use Christian names.
Yeah, I think Andrew Mullen. I've always said, yeah. Andrew Mullen Gray is strong name.
My brother is Duncan Murray Gray.
Love it.
That's my mum's maiden name.
And your birthday falls on what? Here's a strange but true
Day.
Fact. Yeah, go on. Sorry, I talked over you.
No, my birthday falls on St. Andrew's Day, and your birthday falls on?
St. George's Day.
There you go.
You couldn't make that up,
no,
could you?
No, you couldn't make that up.
Really?
No.
It's amazing.
No, you couldn't.
Anyway, welcome once again. I've really been enjoying these podcasts. Thank you for your feedback, questions as well. A number of people asking, on what do we base our choice of guest? That's very simple, actually. We have a very easy editorial policy in that respect. Whoever we want, really, yeah, because we like them. Our mates is the bottom
friend.
Line. So you'll love today's. We've just finished talking to him. This podcast put together in two parts. We did the interview with a very good friend of ours stateside, Nigel Lithgow, Nasty Nigel, from the reality programs, and he was nasty before anyone had even heard of Simon Cowell.
I was just going to say that everyone, if you asked anyone in the UK who invented reality TV pop shows, they would say Simon Cowell.
Yeah, no.
That wasn't
Nigel Lithgow. Yeah. Absolutely. Nigel took himself. The reason for that in the UK is Nigel took himself off stateside very early on after the success of Pop Idol,
Pop Idol, yeah.
Liverpool fan. Made it bigger in the States than John Lennon in some respects. I mean, really, really good guy. Great to talk to. And you will thoroughly enjoy the interview, because I thought at one stage I was saying thank you, Nigel, and goodbye when he decided he got a number of questions.
He wasn't finished.
For you.
Yeah, he wasn't finished. Well, for us.
The people he's met is a who's who. It's extraordinary. And I hope you'll enjoy listening to that as much as we have just done recording it. Anyway, in the meantime, still very early days for us, of course, with these podcasts, but thank you for subscribing. If you know someone who you think should, do please steer them in that direction. And one of the things I enjoy about these, Andy, for all the years in broadcasting and on television, I said this to you when we went on the radio, we can sit here as we are today, unshaven, unkempt, and nobody knows.
You're talking about me, aren't you?
No, I'm talking about me too.
Are you unshaven?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Well, I shaved.
You had a big plaster on your chin when you got here, so you must have had a shave.
I was going to say I shaved an hour ago,
yeah,
so
there
I do now need, I am now unshaven again.
Yeah.
But this is a great opportunity for us to tell a few tales, express some opinions as well, and just have a bit of fun, really. And over the coming weeks, we'll have some top guests that we intend to be talking to, like us, who live and breathe football, and provide an insight that you really won't get anywhere else. You can follow us on Twitter and Insta, at Keys and Gray. That's A-N-D, Keys and Gray Pod, spell it out, and on email at keysandgraythepodcast@gmail.com. And most importantly, subscribe to the podcast and leave a review, please. That really helps others find us as well. So what to do this week? I was going to talk to you about Jordan Pickford and Virgil van Dijk, but Nigel Lithgow's rather stolen my thunder in that respect, and that does come up later in the programme. One that has leapt out at me, Ross Barkley, terrific second game in Villa's colours last Monday night, and a headline from the press today, The Guardian. Ross Barkley, I knew I was ready to show how good I am. My question would be, Ross, really? Well, why have you not done that before now, both in an Everton and a Chelsea jersey? It's a bit late in life, isn't it, at last start to show us how good you are?
Well, it's never too late, Richard. It's certainly not too late for Ross. Right, Everton, wonderful start to his career at Everton. Did lose his way a little. There's absolutely no doubt. I don't think there's a question about that. Lost his way at Everton and eventually felt he wanted out and he wanted to go. And I think his form suffered because of that. Chelsea, it's a difficult one. There are many players who have gone to Chelsea, young kids, who have never been able to nail down a regular, and I mean a regular place. And if you're only playing bit part football in one game out for four and two games out for six, it's a really difficult thing to find any consistency of your performance. And I think the best thing he did was leave and go to Villa. He knows if he's going to be fit, he's going to be playing, right? He seems happy there in his first 2 weeks. I know it's early, but it's amazing what contentment and happiness does to a footballer. The thought of feeling wanted does to a footballer's confidence. And there's no doubt Dean Smith and John Terry and the boys there, Craig Shakespeare, have made him feel wanted along with the other players at Villa Park. Mm. So I'm not going to judge him now. What I would say, like you did say correctly, he's had two terrific performances in an Aston Villa shirt in two big games. Now, 12 games down the line, let's see.
I repeat, we will be discussing Van Dijk and Pickford later in the programme, but what I would say at this point is some of the aggravation that Jordan Pickford has been receiving is outrageous. Same with Richarlison, that there is no place for the sort of abuse both boys have had to take. And this article here I'm looking at from the Times today, Ancelotti backs sad Pickford. Of course he's sad. Any professional sportsman that is involved in an incident such as that, that inflicts injury upon another, is going to be disappointed. He did not set out with malice.
No, he didn't.
To injure Virgil van Dijk. It's nonsense. And there really is, I mean, Richarlison's number was leaked onto the internet and he got 10,000 texts, abusive texts in 5 minutes. Here's one that will interest you from John Cross in his column today. Referees voicing concerns that new guidance on offsides will lead to more serious injuries such as that. And the reason for that being assistants are under orders not to raise flags and let play continue under the new VAR rules, as we know. But the refereeing fraternity are worried it will result in more collisions like that.
Correct.
And clashes between players because flags haven't gone up at the time that they should have done. Now, if the flag goes up for Van Dijk, who knows?
Yes, who knows? Certainly if the flag goes up and the whistle goes before the ball arrives. It was such a short space of time between the pass and the collision. It might not have made any difference.
It's maybe not the best example, but it brings it into the spotlight.
I've said it all along, Richard. Do you let it go as long as, say somebody's just 10 yards over the halfway line going through and the linesman goes, oh, I'm going to keep my flag down. I don't know. I think he's offside, but I'm not going to flag. And he goes through and a defender gets back or a goalkeeper comes out of his box and there's a collision. And somebody, as we've seen with Virgil van Dijk, someone can get injured. I said that last weekend. So one thing that worries me about keeping the flag down is that people can then get injured when there's no need for them.
I know you said
injured.
That last weekend on Be In Sports, and that's why I brought it up to really underline what you were saying. Love this from Andy Dunn in the Mirror today, referring to Mesut Ozil. I think the way Arsenal are treating Ozil is an absolute disgrace. Loyalty rubs both ways. If you've offered a player a contract on terms that you're happy with when he signs it, then fulfill that contract. Mm-hmm. If Ozil had decided he didn't want to play for Arsenal anymore, all hell would let loose. Mm-hmm. How dare you? Mm-hmm. You've signed a deal. And yet Arsenal are okay, it seems, to treat him in the manner that they have, leave him out of Premier League and Champions League squads and on the sidelines looking in. Andy Dunn this. If you do not enjoy or did not enjoy watching Mesut Ozil play football, you do not like football. Simple as that. If you do not enjoy or did not enjoy watching Mesut Ozil play football, you've been brainwashed by the high-pressing, tracking back, tactically fouling, distance-covered brigade. He's right.
Well,
There's a place for Mesut Ozil. There has to be.
There is.
Otherwise, the game's gone.
But listen, to go that extreme and say, if you didn't watch him, you don't like football. That's rubbish. That's a nonsense.
He was a wonderful footballer.
Yes, he is. He probably still has got the talent. He's a World Cup winner.
I will leave you with the rest of the article to read later because
let's make one thing clear. Mesut Ozil under Arsene Wenger, for the vast majority of time Wenger was there, was a terrific footballer. He would be first on Wenger's list when he picked his team, and he would rely on him. And his assists record was sensational. Whatever happened, and we don't know. We're not there. We're not at the club. He did lose his way one way or the other. Whatever it was, whether it was a new coach coming in.
Yes and no. I think his views now, that were powerfully expressed on what's happening to the Uyghurs in China played a part.
Might have a lot to do with that. But you're 100% right in what you say is, if Mesut Ozil was given a contract for 4 years and after a year, Arsenal say, do one, we don't want you anymore, get off. Mesut Ozil is entitled do you know what I'm saying? That's basically what they've said.
Yes, they are.
We don't want you anymore. He's entitled to say, that's fine, I'll leave, pay me up my contract and I'll go. Or if you don't, I'll sit here on my contract.
The best radio commentators paint beautiful pictures. Mm-hmm. The best writers are capable of doing that. This from Andy Dunn. Jose Mourinho, perceived as the doyen of practical management, as a memory of his time coaching Ozil at Real Madrid. He would organise a full-scale practice match and then turn his back on it. Mourinho would know when Ozil was striking a pass because it made a different noise, like a soft, pure, powder-exploding thud of a perfectly struck iron shot. Beautiful. Lovely words. Great description.
But I'll tell you one other thing about Ozil, and he's telling me at Real Madrid, if memory serves me well, and I'm at the age now when memory doesn't always serve me well, he hardly ever finished a football match.
Who cares? If you got the game after 60 minutes.
Who cares? Well, I'm saying you do care.
You can have 60 minutes, son. Win me the game.
You could have played in midfield at that time for Real Madrid.
When you opened your nightclub, did you finish the football match?
Well, that's a different
story. Did you finish the football match?
That was a different era.
It's not a different era. Score tonight, Andy. I hear you're opening a club, Andy. Yes, that's right, Gaffer. Well, score tonight and I'll whip you off at half time.
Well, that's for another day.
Happy birthday, Pele. 80.
80.
Football was invented for this magical player.
Correct.
Again, so says the Daily
I still have it in my head here. I can still see him at 17, 18 in Sweden at the World Cup when he flips the ball over one defender, volleys it in. In the World Cup final, I think it was. It was just such a sensational goal. Such a sensational goal.
Right. Just one or two little bits and pieces there. We should introduce, I think, our guest.
Oh, yes.
Let me once again, you've been reading up. Let me trying to put some meat on the bone. Nigel Lithgow, he'll explain to us in just a moment, but let's say born Merseyside.
Merseyside is a good one.
Because I've called him a Scouser and he's not necessarily a Scouser.
No.
Conquered America in a way that few other Brits have. And started a revolution, actually, I think, would Strictly be on air without Nigel? Probably not.
Yeah, I know.
Probably not.
Would Britain's Got Talent?
Almost certainly not.
Would we have seen Pop Idol?
No.
There you go.
I mean, a whole host of different shows. He's not Nasty Nigel, but that, of course, is how forever he will be known. Let's meet him. So, time to meet our guest, Nasty Nigel. Good morning, stateside. How are you?
Good morning. It's no longer Nasty Nigel. Please, Richard. It's nurturing Nigel.
No. Once you've had a handle, and you've had it for long enough now, you will always be Nasty Nigel. Has that followed you around all these years then, Nigel?
It has. There you go.
You're not losing it.
No, but it's a little unfair. Those who know Nigel know that he's not really nasty. Demanding, perhaps.
The funny thing was, in the sort of critiques that I was giving these kids, I was using a lot of Morecambe and Wise lines that I'd been working with just recently, saying things like, well, you sang all the right notes, but you put them in the wrong order. And I was being dubbed nasty for quoting Eric Morecambe.
Were you conscious you were destroying people's careers before they'd even started?
Destroying, yeah. I was hoping their dreams, but the way they sang, those dreams would have turned into nightmares for them later on.
I build you, Nigel, as the Scouser that made it bigger in America than John Lennon. How did it all come about?
Well, number one, I better tell you, I'm called a plastic Scouser because I'm not a real Scouser. I come from the other side of the water Wallasey.
Okay.
In the Wirral Peninsula.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is Plassey. Okay. Is Plassey, well, yeah. Okay. But
so
but,
they call that a plastic Scouser. But I used to work in Liverpool, so I class myself as a Liverpudlian. And besides that, nobody in America knows where Wallasey is, where if you say Liverpool, they, oh, did you know the Beatles?
First question. So how did you end up in L.A.?
I guess, it's a long story. How long have you got? How long is this
all
podcast?
All the time in the world. Yes, if you want it. Yes.
I started, my dad was a Liverpool docker and it worked on the docks in Liverpool and Birkenhead. And for some reason, and I can tell you that I was sort of inspired by a movie called Robin and the Seven Hoods. And Sammy Davis Jr. did this tap routine with a machine gun on top of a bar. And I thought, I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
For some unknown reason, I said, I'd like to do that. And my dad, bless him, wasn't thrilled that his son was going to go to tap lessons. But I went off to tap lessons and I was good at it, basically. And the teacher said, you should do more study of dance. You should go into it more. And thank God, all my mates at school, we all realized that the best looking girls were in this dance school. So we started going to the dance classes, other styles of dance. And that just developed into me becoming a professional dancer, joining Rolf Harris's Young Generation in 1968. And basically moving into choreography, then production and direction in television. And ended up, as I'm sure you know, with one of my favorite programs and probably one of your mates, Andy, John Fashanu, on Gladiators. And that was a huge success. And I became the boss of London Weekend Television's entertainment and comedy department. And within that, I spotted this program called Pop Stars. So this is sort of encapsulating an entire career of like 40 years into a few sentences here. But Pop Stars, as you rightly said, pinged me out as Nasty Nigel. I then got invited to join Simon Cowell and Simon Fuller with Pop Idol. And then Pop Idol got invited to America, and I got invited to bring American Idol together for America, which has been enormously successful for 16 years. Before it left Fox, and it's now gone to ABC. And during that time, I went back to my old career and created a program called So You Think You Can Dance, which has had 16 seasons as well on Fox Television. So,
fantastic.
I would not put myself in the John Lennon bracket there.
Oh, I don't know. Have you ever thought of anything that's flopped?
What did you just say?
I said, have you ever thought of anything? All these great reality TV shows, like even going back to Gladiators, Blind Date, things like that, all massive successes, Nigel. But is there ever anything you've put to air that didn't work?
Oh, God, yes. I did a program called Ice Warriors, which was very unsuccessful. But it was a take on doing Gladiators on ice. And there were some great ideas. And probably 2 days before we were going to record, safety and security came in and said, you can't do this, you can't do that. No, you can't have any electrical equipment by the ice, and you can't do this. And the show was sort of taken apart, dismantled, and put back together again badly. And the whole concept was wrong. If I'm totally honest, it was a bit like a lot of the politics nowadays. It was all talk and no substance.
Very astute. Yeah. I've said this to a lot of people, Nigel, who have had success. Are there occasions you sit down quietly with a cup of English breakfast tea and just ponder on what you've done and take on board all of the things that have happened to yourself, because it's been an extraordinary life?
Thank you. Yes, it has. There's no question. I feel that, but I can't ever rest on laurels. When you look back, don't forget, if you're totally honest with yourself, you realize most of it has been through luck.
I'm not having that, and nor are you, because I'm a great believer that you make your own luck, and you've done that by following opportunities.
Well, Richard, I hear what you're saying, but you can't always make your own luck. What I will say is it then takes talent to carry it off, but
there you go.
The doors have got to open for you. You can knock on the door, and so many that I know, really, really talented people, have been knocking on the door for years, and the door has never opened for them. And I know if they'd have had the opportunity, they would have been hugely successful. And certainly going around both the UK and here in America and seeing the talent that is out there that is never given the opportunity breaks my heart, quite frankly. So when I look at myself, I think, well, thank God the choreographer of the young generation moved over to ITV, which allowed me to become the choreographer at the BBC. Thank goodness I was doing camera scripts, so they gave me the opportunity of directing a television program. There was so much luck involved. Then after that, yeah, I had the tenacity to stick with it and hopefully the talent to carry it off.
I think I should have added.
You need those doors to
open. Well, yeah, you need those breaks, but also when the door opens, you've got to have the courage to go through. So I do rather take issue with you that, you know, you don't make your own luck. You do, Nigel. When opportunities come, grab them. But I should have added to my question, with a cup of English breakfast tea, sitting in Elvis Presley's house, where you once met John Lennon.
Yeah. What? Yeah. He's in Elvis's house?
Incredible.
He is, yeah.
He's not.
Incredible, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I came to America, I was choreographing Shirley Bassey, and she was going to appear at what was then called the Hilton Hotel, Hilton International Hotel in Vegas. And we arrived there and she wanted to get there a week earlier to acclimatize to, you know, that very dry weather.
Oh, you need at least a week, Nigel. You need at least a week. Yeah, absolutely.
I'd say two. Yeah,
yes.
The first thing I saw was in the hotel where she was going to be appearing, and she was co-headlining with Bobby Darin. Elvis was on. And Elvis was my big hero growing up. Yeah. I mean, just, it was either, when I was growing up, it was either you were a Cliff Richard fan or an Elvis fan.
Elvis.
And I was Elvis. and I went to see him. I was lucky enough to be allowed to go and see him. And he wasn't good. And I must say, I was really, really upset. And I went upstairs and I turned the TV on in the huge room that they got in America. And on there was the Jerry Lewis telethon. And the stars just kept coming on, Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra, and they're just wandering on and talking. And years later, Jerry Lewis asked me to co-host the Jerry Lewis telethon with him. And that, for me, was one of the greatest highlights of my life.
Wow.
Isn't it? I mean, it's funny, Nigel, you say that, you saw Elvis. It's funny how so many people say that, don't meet your heroes, because sometimes you get so disappointed, and maybe it's better you didn't meet them now.
Yeah, sometimes you do. I mean, other times, you know, it's the same as soccer players, isn't it, Andy? You know, sometimes they have an incredible game, and the next time they're crap.
That's true.
Well, you can see how Americanized you become, because we still talk about football over here, but I know that where you are, it is soccer. Now, let's talk.
I can't talk about football. Yeah.
When you went, the US was a very different world. Yeah. There was no such thing as soccer, football.
How is it not necessarily true?
Well,
not.
Go on.
Because I'll tell you why. Because the girls and the women were really playing it. And then their children, as they grew older and had children, they got their children playing it. So it was grassroots, and it had to come through. And it's still, you know, it's still grassroots, to be frank with you. You know, we've got the MLS here, but in the colleges and the universities, there's still no scholarships. So that will, it's got to happen, because the mums are saying, I don't want my kids playing American football. It's too dangerous for them. So at the end of the day, I think common sense will prevail and we'll go to the beautiful game.
Good. Do you still see much, if anything, of Vinnie Jones?
I don't see Vinnie much, no. He went back. He went back to the UK now. I think he's gone back.
Oh, has he? Right. Okay.
Yeah, but I did see him. I used to see him all the time at the British Academy events, and sometimes in the British Consul General's garden parties.
Of course.
Rubbing shoulders, yes.
Where else would you expect to find Vinnie Jones? Two quick stories. He was a guest once on a Sunday afternoon, and he'd happened across some electrical goods that I'm not sure that he should have been in possession of, but I did offer to buy a couple of the televisions he had available. And I said, here, listen, there's my number. Call me when I can come and get them. And he said, no, don't ever give me your telephone number. I'll drive you mad morning, noon and night. He said, I can't help it. Yeah. And the second occasion was when the first movie had just come out. Where I was with Jeff Shreves, and he was in the corner of a room with a couple of his mates. And Shreves and I wandered over, and Jeff said, oh, you're looking well. Are you feeling better? And he went, what do you mean feeling better? I haven't been unwell. And Jeff said, yeah, I saw the movie. I thought you had woodworm.
He came on as a guest on Gladiators. We did a celebrity Gladiators, and it scared the hell out of us. I must be frank with you, but they climbed what was called the cargo net to quite a high level. And he and Gary Mason, do you remember Gary Mason?
Of course. Gary. Lovely. Yes.
He pushed Gary Mason off the top of that. And the scary thing was, there were red carpets below, good sponge carpets, but Gary landed on his head, thank goodness. Otherwise, he might have injured himself. the scary thing is, we had only discussed that morning about moving those two red carpets to the end of what was the zip line, because we were frightened people would go off the other end. So had we have done that, I promise you, Gary Mason would have been heavily in.
Yeah. Wow. Now, I think you only gave him the show because Chris, your boy, is a big fan. But why didn't the Ian Wright show last longer? I used to love that.
Yeah, no, me too. And I used to love Ian Wright. I mean, what a character. And you know, you can attest to it better than I can, but what an incredible striker for Arsenal.
Oh, yes.
I think there's only Thierry Henry that I think was any better, but an incredible guy, great personality, really interested. And, you know, when he talks to you, he listens to you as well, which, as you well know, is really important. With so many people with their own shows nowadays just want to talk about themselves and not listen to what their guests have got to say.
Of all the shows you've been involved in, Nigel, could you pick a favourite?
I think for the most fun I had and the most enjoyment of watching the show itself was Gladiators. The very first show that I produced and directed, which was extremely creative for me, was the Bobby Davro series that we made down at TVS. It's just that we were copying so much of what was going on in the world, and Bobby could impersonate anybody at that point, that it was just great fun and very creative to be able to do. After that, Pop Stars changed my life, so I've got to go with that. And then the most influential show that I've ever done that's affected my life was a thing called Idol Gives Back, where I had the opportunity of traveling around America, looking at the poverty, looking at the third world situations in one of the greatest countries in the world that was swept under the carpet. And we made $79 million on the first season to try and help the economy, both in America and to try and stave off malaria in Africa, which is possible to do. I hadn't realized, but you can actually stop malaria if you put enough effort into it.
Well, we should then put more effort into it.
And then, of course, back to So You Think You Can Dance, where I've just watched so much talent grow here in America and rejuvenated dancing and hopefully helped a lot of young men begin dancing and taking away the stigma of if you're a dancer, you're gay, which so many straight boys don't want to go into because they're frightened they're going to be called gay, which is sad for a start. It's awful that some kids were actually thrown out by their dads because they wanted to be a dancer.
Are you serious?
And whether you're straight or gay shouldn't matter what you want to do in life.
Of course it should.
It's crazy. And it's only really in the UK and the US that you see that. Russia, the Russian Red Army are all dancers, for God's sake. I went to South Africa and watched a whole pile of Zulus dancing for me. And you wouldn't want to call them gay, I'll tell you that.
Do you keep in touch with your football team?
Well, yes and no. The legends, I do. When the legends come to LA, we go out for dinner, and Robbie Fowler and McManaman and all that crowd sort of come over. But the funny thing is, I come from a toffee family.
What?
My dad was a toffee.
Oh,
I know.
Scandalous.
My dad in the. I'm so sorry, the Andy Gray. Get out of there. But he did. I grew up with that until I've got a lousy memory on this, but I think it was when Liverpool came back into the first division, which was it must have been about 61 or 62.
Yeah, early Shanks.
And then I became a huge Roger Hunt fan.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, he played for England as well. So it was there. I mean, I only got to see, because I had to go on my own, I only got to see two or three games that I can remember growing up at that period, because I left in 1968 for London.
It left an indelible mark on you. Judas, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we should cut this interview short, Betty. I really do.
When last one, Nigel, when you got Obama to sign off as America's Got Talent ended officially, it's
good. Well, excuse me, let me put you right for a start.
Go on.
It wasn't America's Got Talent, it was American Idol.
American Idol, which you mentioned now has found its way onto another channel, but that there's another story there. Did you meet and spend time with Obama?
Unfortunately, I did not. I spoke and met very surreptitiously with Valerie Jarrett, who was Obama's executive assistant, if you like. And I spoke with her about why I wanted President Obama to do it. And it was basically because at that point, there's always difficulty again now of getting people to vote in this country. I think many of them shrug their shoulders. Many of them live so far away from a postal ballot box, they can't be bothered. I don't know what the reason is, but we would get more votes for American Idol finalists than the president of the United States. And truthfully, so a guy called Reuven Studdard got something like 135 million votes. And he could have been the first black president of the United States if he'd have been going for that position. And so I think that was recognized. And President Obama used that, you are literally voting terrifically for American Idol. I want you to now vote for your country, and bounced off that sentiment at the same time of saying goodbye to American Idol. It was an incredible coup. And the funny thing is, I mean, I've just been doing my own podcast of my idol memories. And looking back at the finale of the first show, there's Donald Trump saying, I think Kelly Clarkson should win. So we're probably the only reality show with two presidents that have been on it.
And your podcast is available via all the usual outlets, I imagine.
Absolutely. Spotify, Apple, and anywhere people get their podcasts from. And it's called My Idol Memories. That's Idol, that's I-D-O-L, not I-D-L-E.
Right. Well, here we are now back in the middle of an American election. Do you have any advice for American voters?
Yes. Number one, please vote. The fact is, I do think, if I'm going to get, and I'm not really a political person, but I would vote Trump out tomorrow.
Why wait that long?
Well, exactly. Well, I don't know why you sit on the fence now, Joe. I just think you should tell it as
At certain times, sometimes you've got to take the flack and be honest. You know, and we had the big debate here last night, and everyone's sort of up in arms because Biden said he is over time going to lose the oil industry. And everyone's, oh, what, the oil? How can you say that? Well, everybody knows that we have to at some point, whether it's in by 2050 or 2030, it doesn't matter. We have to find better ways of energy in order to save the world. It's not just about America.
Yeah,
it's about the world. And sometimes, especially with this, let's make America great again, America has sort of pulled itself in and taken itself out of the world. And we've lost our relations a lot of the time with the rest of the world. We now have to sort of go back again, become a little humble, I think, in America, and say we need each other.
I often say to Andy Nigel, when they're talking about changing football, we won't be around to have a view on that, so it doesn't really matter. The same probably applies with this. Listen, thank you for getting up so early stateside. I very much grateful to you for spending time with us.
He's always up at the state.
I've got some questions for you, so don't let's not be unfair here and just ask.
Okay, well,
I want to know about what you feel about VAR.
Oh, goodness me. Sorry, Nigel, we've just lost the link. Nigel, are you there? I think that, quite simply,
answer the question. Seriously.
Well, I think VAR speaks for itself. It's been nothing short of disastrous, I think, in its inception. I guess the idea was right, the thought and belief was right, that it would stop people getting things wrong. It's not done any of the sort. It's caused as much doubt, maybe more doubt, than we ever had in football before. And it's making it too much like, we go back to America, Nigel, too much like American football. I don't like stops for 2, 3, 4 minutes in a football match when they're unnatural. And that's what VAR does as
you
well.
Do you know how long the play is in American football? 11 minutes.
What?
They work out that the actual play in American football is around 11
that's
minutes.
That's out of 1 hour, yeah? 11 minutes out of 1 hour. Yeah.
And the next question, the final question, what did you think about how Van Dijk's injury should be looked at?
Good question, Nigel. Very good question. And once again, I will glance across the table at my colleague and ask you to answer the question, please.
Right. First of all, Nigel, speedy recovery and a 100% recovery for Virgil Van Dijk. As someone, as you know, who spent a lot of his time doing what Virgil van Dijk's doing right now, recovering from serious injury, I know what it's like. I don't believe that Jordan Pickford went to injure him.
Not at all.
Was it a reckless challenge? Yes, it was. Was it a little out of control? Yes, it was. Now, I don't know whether he should have been sent off. He could have been. And had they looked at it in that way, he probably would have been sent off.
Oh, hold on, they did. Mike Riley said initially
didn't. Then he said he didn't.
That, correct.
But I'm not a believer, Nigel, in retrospective punishment for something that wasn't premeditated in any way.
Listen, I mean, we debated this long and hard on Be In Sports last week, Nigel. Van Dijk was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And not for a minute did Jordan Pickford intend to inflict that injury. Not for a minute. My view was he could and should have gone. The PGMOL, Mike Riley and his referees association, came up with various different answers as to why he didn't. But for me, the bottom line with VAR is very simple, that our game should not be black or white. No. It should be grey. And it should always, as is the case now, provide us with opportunities to discuss and argue. Mm-hmm. And if we haven't got that, then we haven't got very much in football. And that for me, looking to try to take us to a place where every decision was correct all of the time was a pipe dream. Can't happen, shouldn't happen, shouldn't ever even attempt to go there. Don't want it, in my view. But there we are.
Yeah. No, I think you're both right on what you've said. I think had VAR had a little more thought behind it of what where you draw the line, is it an elbow, is it a head, or should it have been by the feet? It may have been a little.
But you see, Nigel. Sorry to interrupt, Nigel. But again, there you see what VAR. You know, where do we draw the line? We'll always debate over that. Was it a head or an elbow? I mean, that's impossible to define.
It will still be Nigel, a matter of opinion. And you know that what we've given it now, in some cases, is another man's opinion. Now, they've done a little bit better this year, and they've said to the referee, in certain situations, you go and look at your monitor. When Mike Riley last year, in his wisdom, had them not looking at the monitor. So we were getting a referee on the pitch making a decision, and a referee in Stockley Park, 300 miles away sometimes, telling him it was the wrong decision and he had to change his mind. Now, they've altered that slightly, which is better, but it's still, does it help
still
the game?
Right.
Has it, you as a spectator, Nigel, has it made football better to watch for you?
No, not in the slightest. I don't like the hold-up either. But, you know, if you'd have asked me beforehand, before we saw how it's developed, I would have said, well, what a great idea. You know, certainly because we, you know, people lose games or win games on the when the goal's offside, obviously.
Yeah, but see that, Nigel, just let me say.
I'm just,
what I'm going to say, Nigel, is there are certain things that I do like. Right. One thing I said from day one, and Richard will confirm this, is that I've always said on matters of fact, yes, right? Matters of fact.
Hold on. Can I just interrupt you there?
What?
Mane.
What, Mane?
Matters of fact. Mane wasn't offside.
No, he wasn't.
Mane wasn't offside.
No, he wasn't. They made an error. But what I'm saying is...
Well, that's a matter of fact.
He got that badly wrong. Yeah.
Of course they did.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, in matters of fact, we can use it. Was it offside? Was the tackle that I'd blown up as a foul, was the tackle inside or outside the box? That's a matter of fact. Was the ball over the line? That's a matter of fact.
We had that. We had goal line technology.
I know we did, but those are the things, Richard, that I thought VAR would be good at. Now, in matters of opinion, no. There should only be one opinion, and that's the guy with the whistle in the middle of a football pitch.
Agreed.
He should be making it.
Agreed.
That's the only thing I don't like about it.
So what?
Agreed.
So what we've got to have the courage to do, Nigel, is we need an American executive to look at the ratings and say that doesn't work and bin it. There you go.
Got anyone in mind?
that's wicked. And the other thing is with Jordan Pickford, obviously nobody goes out to injure somebody like he did. At the same time, had that had happened anywhere else on the pitch, whether it was at the end of the game after the whistle had blown or anywhere else, that would have been classed as a red card. The same way as Son. I mean, if you look at when Spurs Son got sent off, that wasn't anywhere near as bad as what Jordan Pickford did on Van Dijk. Mm. And it didn't matter that it was offside or the whistle had blown or anything. People still get red cards at the end of the game.
Yes, you see.
When the game's over.
That's something else that Andy and I debated last week. Listen, I'm with you on that. I don't think you can do what he did. I don't think for a minute he set about to injure Van Dijk. And I think he genuinely made an attempt to go out as Peter Schmeichel used to do.
And that's what I said.
Make himself into a star.
Come out like that. Make themselves.
But unfortunately, it all went horribly wrong. And by the way, I got some terrible stick last week, Nigel, because Andy and I were looking around the internet and discovered early Saturday afternoon that it was ACL, and Liverpool didn't very much like that.
No.
They haven't now said yet how long he'll be out. Medics are like footballers. If you know people in the medical profession, you'll find out what's happening. He won't play again this season, Van Dijk, and he won't play in the Euros. It's not just ACL. I think it could be worse than that, and that's why they're not saying. Anyway, that's just speculative, I should add, for Liverpool Football
Club. Well, you've
Liverpool
really cheered
Football
Nigel
Club
up now, telling him that. Sorry about that, Nigel.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Thanks for cheering me up this morning.
Nigel, we can't thank you enough. It's been absolutely brilliant, my friend.
Thanks,
keep going over there. Fly the flag for the Brits and enjoy it.
Cheers. Thanks very much. And
thanks,
I've got
buddy.
To congratulate Andy. I want to congratulate Andy Gray because I understood more from what he said today. He's obviously learning to speak English.
Oi,
much
you.
Better now.
Oi.
That's racist.
By the way, I see you've lost your Liverpool accent as well.
Don't stare.
Hey, don't stare. All right. Go ahead, lad.
Go ahead. Come on, leave it.
Hey, leave it. Don't stare. Come on, lad.
Thanks, Nigel. All
thanks,
right.
Nigel.
Bye. Clear off.
We're off.
Love it. And thank you.
I want to ask you something quickly before we go about Nigel. And I meant to ask him, but never got time. I forgot, slipped my mind.
Well, because he started asking you questions.
Exactly. I was going, which Elvis house is he in?
In LA, the one in LA.
Right, because a lot of people would be thinking his big mansion.
Of course, the one that we should know and can't remember.
Yes.
Gracelands.
Gracelands. So yeah. A lot of people will be thinking he doesn't own Gracelands.
No. He owns the house in LA, which if I, and I've been there, I owned that house, I would be pulling every wall down and lifting every floorboard to see if I could find something.
Of Elvis.
Just something of Elvis's somewhere in the house. Yeah. It's absolutely beautiful. And thank you once again. Idle Memories is the name of, I think you said, didn't
podcast?
It? Nigel's podcast. Yeah. So this weekend, anything in particular on your mind?
Well.
Upcoming?
Well, look, there's the first Clásico of the season. It'll be interesting to see. We've talked a lot about how the game's been shaped by no crowds being there. Arguably, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, rivalry in football happens this weekend. It'll be interesting to see how that pans out, how it plays out, Richard.
Live on beIN Sports, of course, as is every other English Football League, Premier League match, all 380 all season long. Gianni Infantino, last little story from the press. I'm not interested in a Premier League, a Super League.
A European Super League.
Yes, no. Gianni, you are.
I don't think he is. I think he's interested, let me tell you, in a World Super League.
Oh,
there you go.
Well,
that's the difference for me. Yes. He's going to invite the world to his league.
Yes, he and UEFA are on collision course. That's what it's really all about. Where is the power going to end up? Fascinating. We should discuss. We will discuss next week. Thank you once again for listening. Get involved, please, on Twitter and Insta at Keys and Grey Pod. A-N-D, all at Keys and Grey. The little and sign doesn't work. Keys and Grey Pod. And subscribe on whatever platform you get your podcasts. In the meantime, take care. See you on beIN Sports this weekend.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.